It's time for Radio Labyrinth with Tim Andrews, Jeff Leboff, Stephanie Swain, Autumn Fisher, and sometimes effing Ira Malkin.
Hey, welcome to this special edition of Radio Labyrinth. Tim Andrews and Jeff Leboff.
Howdy.
We are joined by frequent guest Brian Silverbacks, local artist.
What's going on, guys? Glad to be back.
Thank you for being here. And a friend of yours and a film director we are meeting for the first time, Tony Reams.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
I got it right?
Yeah.
All right. Hey, welcome to the show, Tony.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Not a bad film.
Oh, thanks.
I really enjoyed it. I watched it twice, the short one.
Okay.
Playtime's Over one?
Playtime's Over, yes.
Oh, thank you.
Tony is a director and producer known for Playtime's Over, Dead by Midnight, 11 p.m. Central, and VHS Viral.
Yeah.
So was that the second VHS movie or the third?
That was the third VHS one.
Yeah, okay. So this is the third one.
I have not seen that one yet, but I love the first two.
Oh, yeah. The third one, I only worked on, it was called Dante the Great. It was the first segment about a magician.
Yeah.
My friend Greg Bishop is the one that wrote and directed it, and it's one of my favorites. It holds up.
Now, all three VHS movies were made in Atlanta, weren't they? Or most of the films were the vignettes or whatever?
Well, I know that Amateur Night, the first VHS was. That was David Bruckner and Hannah Fearman. And I don't know. Some of the VHS 2 stuff I feel like might have been shot elsewhere. I don't know. And then I do know that the third one was sort of shot all over. I know there was some stuff that was shot, oh man, I'll get it wrong, New Mexico or Texas or somewhere southwest.
Well, it seemed to me that that was going to be a franchise, but I guess now it's done or?
I think it is done. They moved on. I think that group, I think they did the Southbound. That it was sort of an anthology type horror movie. And I don't know what they're up to now. I know that one of the female directors from Southbound is doing Night of the Comet remake.
No way. I've been asking for that for years.
Yeah. So
how do you top a perfect film?
That's sort of my question. But I do feel like that's a film you could sort of make now, a contemporary version, because so many people didn't see it.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Some people watched it over and over on VHS.
Yeah. I did too. That's still my jam. We were talking about movies.
I'm one of the not seers. I've never seen it.
It still holds up.
Yeah, you gotta see it.
I was in love with the blonde.
Yeah.
The short blonde.
Kelly Maroney.
The friend. I don't know her real name.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
No, you were in love with Chakotay.
No, I know Chakotay was in it. He's in two pinnacle 80s movies before becoming Chakotay. Yeah. That and
Eating Raoul.
Yeah, Eating Raoul.
Oh, yeah.
You like that movie?
Yeah.
I still have that on DVD. I wish I had a DVD player because it's never on anything, but
it's a
fun little film. So I'm going to read the description of the short. So Playtime's Over is, what would you call that, a short film?
Yeah.
Okay, and it stars Haley Leary as Lori and Evan Reams?
Yeah.
Is that your daughter?
It is.
As Dee. She's a good actress.
Oh, thanks.
She did a great job in this.
Yeah, thank you. Here's
a description of the film for the listeners. The only thing Dee loves more than classic horror movies is terrorizing the babysitter. And as an aside, she certainly does that. It's New Year's Eve. Dee's parents are looking forward to one of the rare nights without their angel. Little does Lori, the new babysitter, know the $50 an hour won't cover the years of therapy needed after spending one night with Dee and her stuffed friends. So you see in this short, I noticed, and it's kind of a tribute to a bunch of different films.
It pays homage to a bunch of classic horror tropes without being derivative at all.
Right. And that I noticed that and I loved that.
Oh, okay.
It really grabbed me. And we'll start with the first one that I noticed, and there may be one before it, but of course Carrie.
Yeah. Yep. Carrie.
With the tiara from the pizza company and then she dumps. What did she dump on her head?
Okay.
I don't want to spoil it for people, but I kinda have to.
So our makeup, special effects makeup, Amber, I said to her, you know, we sort of need to do different bloods on this. Mm-hmm. So I sent her clips from Carrie, and I said, I don't know what they used. I think they did use pig's blood. I don't know.
I thought that was the case.
Well, that's awesome.
Yeah. We didn't use pig's blood. I think what she used for that was, I think it was a mix of Caro and red dye.
Yeah, the old standby.
Yeah. Whereas the Psycho stuff, that was like chocolate syrup. And
so it would be darker.
Yeah. So the different bloods for the different shots, but I think that was Caro and red dye.
Well, as you move your way through the short film, you start off with the Carrie tribute, which again, the lighting and everything is great. And then the next one is Psycho.
Yeah.
And again, and it's black and white and it's great because it's not a ripoff.
Yeah.
You know, you could do who did that Psycho remake with
Vince Vaughn.
Yeah, Vince Vaughn. That was terrible. Yeah. Hang on a second.
Push the sneeze button.
No, we're recording a podcast. You don't have to edit that. So you get to the Carrie scene. And then after that, a very subtle there's a transition going on. But then you see Lori walking into a room and there's a keychain hanging off the door that says 237, which is of course The Shining.
Yep.
And you go into the room, and I was thinking, how is he going to pull this off? Obviously, there's not going to be a naked woman in a bathroom.
Right, yeah. So we didn't, yeah, we did. We opted not for that.
But you got the lighting.
Yeah.
You got the lighting right.
Yeah.
And it puts you in mind of that scene if you've seen the film.
Yeah.
So I thought that was pretty cool. And then it kind of, does it go into Saw?
Yes.
Yep. Oh,
all right. With D on the television making Lori do the puzzle.
Right.
Is there also a little, what is that called? Not paranoia, but...
Paranormal Activity?
Yeah, with the...
A little bit. And I went back and rewatched
it.
Yeah. And that was our way of tying in Saw, because in Saw it was an old television set.
That's right.
And that baby monitor has been in that room forever. And I was like, oh, we'll just use that.
So it's your house that you shot this
in? Yeah, yeah. It's all in the house. And yeah, so $0 budget.
Right.
Fair.
But yeah. Well, you know, it looked like you had a budget for it.
Oh,
so.
Thanks.
Blair Witch Project, I picked up on.
Yep.
And the tax on the foot. Was that Nightmare on Elm Street?
See, that
or
was
am I
sort
wrong?
Of that was nothing. That
Jax,
was sort of yeah.
Tax.
That was that the okay. So
you that got a reaction out of me.
Oh, good.
I'm watching it again this morning, and it's the same thing. Oh,
yeah.
Because we've all done that, stepped on some shit like that.
Right.
Legos usually.
That was yeah. where it came from. Yeah. The Legos, because I said to so Todd is the writer of it, and then Haley, Evan, and I all sort of just powwowed to come up with stuff. And I said, you know, the one sort of. Horror genre that we haven't really covered is body horror.
Mm-hmm.
And so we talked about, you know, Cronenberg and stuff like that. But obviously for like this kind of stuff, I was like, yeah, I don't want to be too gross. And I threw out the Lego thing.
Mm.
And then I think Haley mentioned the Jax, and I was like, ooh, that would hurt too. So
yeah,
that was more of just a body horror homage than any specific.
So how did you come, where did you get the idea to do this? You know?
No, I don't know. That's just a funny question that you hear all the time.
I know.
To do Playtime's Over?
Yes.
My daughter and I do a movie every year, and the goal of it originally was, let's do something to try to scare mommy.
Mm-hmm.
And we did one, and it did really well. It won a couple awards, and we were kind of surprised, like, oh my gosh, I guess people...
Where do you enter it?
Film festivals. It won Shocker Fest out in L.A. It won the Director's Choice Award, which I was like, man, that's awesome.
That's cool.
And so then the next one we did like a Christmas... one, and I used fake snow in the house, and we were banned from shooting in the house after that. So
the producer said no more shooting in the house.
Mom's the producer. And so then I was like, okay, well, we ended up on the last one we did was a takeoff of Sin City and Robert Rodriguez film. So it was kind of like a Western shot like Sin City. And that one we ended up going all over the country with, and we went to a bunch of Comic-Cons, including the San Diego one. And so... when I was talking to Haley about it, she's like, man, I've never been to a Comic-Con. I said, we should do something that'll get us maybe into another Comic-Con. So that's where the idea came from. And then we were just throwing out different ideas. And then Haley threw out the idea of, hey, what if it's a kid who's terrorizing a babysitter and she's doing it based on movies? And I said, ooh, that could be really good, especially if it's through a child's eyes of how they saw these movies. Because mm-hmm. I guess when we were younger and saw movies... you know, they aren't exactly, like, they're not direct ripoffs of what, like, in your mind, for example, when you mentioned the Psycho, the remake, I think the reason I didn't like it was he just basically took the original storyboards or whatever, mm-hmm. the original movie.
It was
like,
a shot-for-shot reenactment.
Shot-for-shot. And I was like, eh. But the version of Psycho, like, if you were to write now, like, say, let's recreate Psycho in this room, it wouldn't be shot-for-shot. It would be like how we remembered Psycho. And I said, like, what if we did it through a kid's imagination of how they think what's scary and how mm-hmm. things really were? And so, and then Evan threw out, like, I showed her a bunch of, all those clips and some of the movies we watched the whole way through. But, like, it's funny, like, the Texas Chainsaw Massacre is the last one when she's driving away in the truck.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I showed Evan that. The ending of that, and she couldn't stop laughing. She thought that was hilarious.
Wow.
I was like, yeah, that's a terrifying movie. I don't know if that's that funny. But,
well,
so.
You do make a good point. When the first time I saw The Shining, I think I was 10 or 11, probably 10. It was on HBO.
Yeah, yeah.
And I watched it, and it's scary, But you're at that age, I don't think you possess the ability to grasp the psychological terror that's going on, or to understand the Jack Nicholson's character. You don't really get that. But I remember that scene in the room with the woman, and you know, you're titillated at 10 years old.
Oh yeah, yeah.
But you don't. You kind of know why, but you kind of don't. Then you see her, and then she turns into that old hag, and that scared the shit out of me. And that's what's that?
What just happened?
Yeah. And that stayed with me my whole life, which is why when I saw it in this, I'm like, yes, okay, I get it.
Yeah.
So is your daughter really a horror fan?
No, not at all. She scares super easily. But what's crazy to me is like, she's like, I can't stand watching horror movies. I don't want to watch a horror movie. And then we'll watch, like, we watched A Quiet Place recently. Mm-hmm. And she's like, oh, that was great fun. And I was like, that's about as scary a movie suspense-wise.
It's very scary, yeah.
Yeah. And she's like, oh, that's not scary. So I don't know yet. Because I'll show her, like we were talking about Big Trouble in Little China. I just showed her that. She loved Big Trouble in Little China. And I was like, we're getting there. We're kind of moving in. I showed her Monster Squad, and she loved that. So she loves that kind of stuff, but I don't think she's ready for Saw.
Maybe she's just not into the gore.
Yeah,
she
maybe.
Likes the suspense and everything is cool, but the gore maybe is what pushes her over.
She doesn't like blood. She did say that. She cries every time she sees blood. So
has she seen Nightmare on Elm Street, the original?
No, and that's her mom's favorite movie. And I keep saying, are we ready yet?
Yeah.
Are we ready yet? So, not yet.
Now, does mom act and get involved in the film?
No, mom is sort of the, I call her like the production manager, because she just manages, you know, locations and craft service and people and yeah.
The hard stuff.
She does all, yeah, exactly. Yeah. We do all the fun stuff. She does all of the stuff that's just, oof, that's a lot to do.
I used to be a PA at a company. It was a full service ad agency, but we did commercials for radio stations, and I hated doing live shoots at being the PA because it was the food.
Yep.
It was everything, the script notes and all that.
Yeah.
Speaking of PA, Tony's from Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, where?
Greenville, Pennsylvania, north of Pittsburgh.
North of Pittsburgh, okay. We're north central hillbillies.
Yeah, we're from Mansfield, Pennsylvania. Yeah. Never heard of.
What's it near? Like
Corning, New York. That's the closest to.
Yeah.
Gosh, I don't.
It's about 40 minutes north of Williamsport.
Yeah, yeah.
Where they have the Little League World Series.
Yeah.
I know where that is.
Yeah.
So I'm halfway between Erie and Pittsburgh.
So is it mountainous?
Yeah, parts of it are.
No.
Yeah. You guys are in the
forest country.
Are you in the hunting area, all the hunting cabins?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
So first day of buck, that was like a
You couldn't go walking in the woods.
Yeah.
You just go outside and just hear gunshots all day long, because our town is super small.
Did they shut school for first day?
Yeah, we got buck day and doe day off.
Yeah, we did too. And I say that to my wife, and she's like, that's insanity. Like, who does that? And I was like, no, we
didn't even get that shit down here in the South.
No,
think down here they'd get that.
Oh, Thanksgiving wasn't big up there. It was just Thanksgiving was like the precursor to like first day of buck. Right?
Yeah, well, it was great if you went to school up there, because you got Thanksgiving. You got a couple days for that.
Yeah.
And then in a week, you got Doe Day, and then a Buck Day, whatever, and then you got Doe Day, and then it was Christmas,
right?
So you had a couple of good Mondays off, stay up late on Sunday,
and if you didn't hunt, then you'd just watch movies, or whatever, which I didn't. I didn't hunt either. Yeah, so
I hunted small game with my granddad, but I couldn't do the deer.
Yeah, there was something about shooting other things. We would shoot. Like I remember sitting. I had a tree stand, and the best part of the day for me was the end, when you're always really cold. I'd get down and then I'd shoot the tree stand. And that was like, I don't know why that, but that was like the most fun.
Did growing up in Western PA influence you as far as your movie?
Yeah, well, I'll be honest, like George Romero, like from Pittsburgh, like that was like, between him and Mr. Rogers, like that was like the two.
That's
like,
it, yeah.
You nailed Pittsburgh like right there. And so,
Dominic and Eugene.
Yeah, so.
I always bring that up. Have you ever seen that movie?
Mm-mm.
Ray Liotta's first big movie with Tom Hulce and their Garbage Men.
Is it in Pittsburgh?
Yeah, it's shot in Pittsburgh. Tom Hulce, he's responsible. And Tom, is it Hulce or Hulce?
Hulce.
Tom Hulce plays. He's kind of slow.
Okay.
And I don't know what the modern term is, so I'm not going to say. I don't know.
It's a little of Mice and Menish.
Yeah, it is a little of Mice and Menish.
Is it a drama?
Ray Liotta's his brother, Jamie Lee Curtis is in it. Yeah, it's an independent film from like 87 or 88.
Oh, I got to check it out.
And it's really, really good. Very well acted. Before Goodfellas, before he became a menace.
Nice. Now he does those commercials. We see him on those commercials.
Trying to quit smoking with Chantix.
Yeah, that's it.
That's a hard, I'm trying to get that impression down. It's a hard one to do. Even some of the really big guys out there trying to do that aren't nailing it.
No.
So playtime's over. Are you still out in the festival circuit and stuff with it?
Yeah, we just actually are just starting. So we have a couple showings here at the end of the month and next month, and then sort of hopefully.
Is there anything people can buy tickets to? Anything you want to plug?
Sure. We'll be at the Days of Dead Atlanta It'll be showing there.
When is that?
I think that's the 25th. Like, it's the weekend of the 25th of January.
Yeah.
It's like it's a three-day show, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
I think I asked for tickets for that, but I don't think I heard back.
It's pretty cool. I mean, we go every year.
Oh, wow. Yeah. It's at the Atlanta Sheraton,
yeah.
165 Cortland Street. It does. January 25th through the 27th at the Atlanta Sheraton. It's alive. It's Days of the Dead. You got Clive Barker.
Yeah.
Skeet Ulrich.
Chris Jericho.
Yeah. Chris Jericho will
There's
be there.
Always a lot of wrestlers there. I saw Ricky Steamboat Dragon there one year.
Tony Todd, Candyman.
Yeah. Oh, my God. PJ Souls, who wasn't in love with her in the 80s?
Everyone was in love with PJ
Souls. Is going to be there?
Yeah.
No way.
So is Nancy Loomis.
Yeah. Right, so we're going to all meet up before we go to the show.
We should.
Holy shit, Vinnie Vincent, I'm going. Oh, Edward Furlong, Tony Todd?
Yeah.
No way. That's Candyman, right?
Yes, sir. Don't say it anymore.
Huh?
Don't say it again. Don't say it again.
I only say it once. Why? Oh, Kathy Najimy?
The guy that does the voice of on Scream on the phone is going to be there, which I thought that's a crazy thing.
Really?
His voice is
hello.
Crazy. Yeah, that guy.
Roger Jackson. This is pretty cool, Jeff. See if we can get in.
I think I emailed him about tickets a while back, but I never heard anything.
Plug him again. Tell him we're plugging it.
If we just go one day, it's only $30. We can buy tickets.
Keep trying to find free. Bug him. We'll go and interview people. So you'll be there. What's that?
I'll carry your bag so I can get in there, too.
I'll bring you guys coffee. I'll PA for the day.
Nice. So what else? Anything else you want to plug, festival-wise?
There's another one coming up, and it's called the Nevermore Festival, and I don't know the exact date on that one.
And that's in Atlanta?
No, that one's in, oh, man.
That shit, I don't know.
North Carolina, South Carolina?
Maybe. It's in Carolina.
Downtown Durham, North Carolina. There Nevermore, March nice. 8th and 10th, 8th through 10th.
Yeah. There it is.
Who's in that one?
Let's see who the guests
you
are.
Looked at.
I don't think they've even announced anything. I may be like preemptively announcing that one.
I don't see anything.
Yeah.
You also gave us a link to Dead by Midnight, 11 p.m. Central, which is an awesome title.
Yeah.
Now, is this movie, has it been released yet, or is it also in the festival?
No, that one is going to be released on a streaming platform called U42, mm-hmm. and they're launching next month.
U42. What's U42?
You can look them up. They're a streaming platform out of Atlanta, and they're going to be a content aggregator, and it's for creators. So, I'm not the one to be giving descriptions of U42, but they're going to be—
Y-O-U or U?
Y-O-U42.com. But they're releasing some original content, and Dead by Midnight will be the first piece of original content. They've got a couple other shows.
Nice.
One's called More Than a Game, about a super popular gamer in the E3 gaming world. I don't know games very well, so it's not Atari, so I guess I don't can't
speak
to it.
We're too busy working. Right?
Yeah, and then a couple comedy series they'll be releasing, so a lot of original content. And then it'll be a platform for creators to sort of work together.
Now, that's Atlanta-based?
It is. They're, right
are
now,
the creators Atlanta mostly?
Mostly right now, yeah, and they're branching out. So I think this year they're going to do a show that's going to be, they have a big RV that they're refurbishing, and they're going to drive around the country and do like a American tour of like real people in America. And, you know, that'll be one of their shows, interviewing real people about real things.
I kind of like that. I like the idea of, we used to be a country where every community had its own TV channels.
Yeah.
And then you got cable, and then you got regional and independent channels. And now we're going back to where you can stream local content again. And that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So are they looking at that as like a series for Dead by Midnight?
Yeah. In fact, we just started production on the second one. So it's going to be, and I think that 2.0 will come out around Halloween. And they do, we released it as a film because that's originally how we did it, but we have it split into show episodes. So there'll be six episodes.
So Dead by Midnight, 11 p.m. Central. Again, great title. People can't watch it yet, but you should be able to watch it soon.
Yeah, you can go to U42 now, I think, and sign up. I think it should be out.
Let me read the friend
of the show, Alan Sanders, is in Dead by Midnight.
Oh, yeah. Shirk Johnson.
Host of the Wilder Ride podcast. I love them flipping people up. I only got to watch the first vignette. So,
okay.
I'll tell everybody what it's about. It's Halloween at WKIZ when the malicious Mistress of Midnight arrives to host her annual horror movie marathon, Dead by Midnight. Now, who plays the Mistress of Midnight?
Erin Brown.
Erin Brown.
She was in Masters of Horror, that series. She's sort of like a cult icon.
Okay.
Actor. So.
She's really good.
Yeah.
She's great. And when the WKIZ staff begins disappearing, only to turn up in increasingly darker films, it's up to the line producer Candace Spelling to stop the Mistress of Midnight before her final and most diabolical film goes to air. This was entertaining, is the first part that I saw. And I thought Davi Crimmins did a great job.
Yeah. She's on the Q100, the Burt Show.
Yes.
Yeah.
She's,
that's what my wife said. She goes, I recognize that voice.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, Davi. I'm telling you, like, Davi's a star. Like, she really has it.
She was, God, when I was working at Cumulus years ago, she, I guess, started out as just a part-timer and a receptionist, and now she's a major part of that show.
Yeah.
She's so talented. Her husband's talented, too.
Oh, Blair?
Blair.
Oh, man.
Yeah. That band is tight.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's what is it? Was it Ragtime or something like that?
It is. Yeah. I'm not a jazz guy, so I'm always asking him, like, he does different styles, but
right,
I think
right.
Ragtime is the
right I've seen him a couple times. They're really good. I've also washed his hair, which is bizarre.
What?
Yes.
He worked at a barbershop for a time.
Yeah, when I got fired from radio last time, I did other jobs just to stay, busy. And I worked at a pizza place. And then I got a job at Mary Todd Hairdressing Company in Cabbage Town.
Okay.
And so I washed his hair, among other people.
Nice.
Some guy from Mastodon.
Nice.
Yeah.
Aquaman, didn't you watch Aquaman there?
No, he didn't get his hair cut, but he was in there a couple times.
Oh, Jason Momoa?
Yeah, he's friends with the owner.
Oh, wow, my wife loves Jason Momoa.
Oh, I don't know any woman on earth who does not like him.
Yeah, she's in the minority.
She's the only one.
Even Rosie O'Donnell I love him.
I said Aquaman should have been called How I Wet Your Mother.
Yeah, oh, God, that's hilarious. When did you say that? You didn't say that on our show.
The day I saw it.
Oh, okay.
I posted it.
How I Wet Your Mother. That's fucking great. So Dead by Midnight, it's going to be a series, right?
Yeah.
That had a little bit more production value, I assume.
Yeah. A little bit.
Yeah. I wrote down some questions, and I don't want Jeff laughing at me again. But how long have you been doing films, and why horror?
That's good questions. I technically started doing films. I was just telling my daughter this, that every year for my birthday, my dad would break out the 16mm camera, and we'd make movies for my birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And I have them still. And Brian, I can tell you, that drawing you showed, you should see my Trip to Mars Part 1 through 6 movies, because they're terrible.
So you'd send it out to get developed?
Yeah.
And then would you edit them?
Yeah, I had a mini splicer. That
Yeah,
back in the day, and my dad would teach me all that stuff. But then when I got older, he passed away, and so my mom was like, you need to get a real job, you need to do a real thing. So when I went to school, she's like, you can't. I wanted to go for film, and she wouldn't let me. So I ended up going to Pitt, and I just roomed with the Pittsburgh filmmakers. All my roommates were filmmakers, so we would go out and just, they would make films, and I would do whatever
mm-hmm.
I could be a part of it. And then they'd be like, hey, we're going to go on the set of whatever. And so I ended up on the set of Sudden Death, that Jean-Claude Van Damme movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm in it. I won't say co-starring, but I'm in like one shot. I'm in the trailer, so if you watch the trailer, you can see me.
Nice.
But so anything I could do just to be around film. And then when I moved down here, I still wanted to do it, but you could sort of get sidetracked with life or whatever.
When did you move here?
In 96.
Same here.
Oh, yeah?
Yep.
From Pennsylvania?
I was living in Shippensburg, I was actually working at Bob Evans. I was a manager, and I was like, fuck this. I'm like,
nice. I saw Alien 3 in Shippensburg.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Wow.
When it came out. And then I saw a cliffhanger there, too.
I saw the Jerky Boys movie
in
Shippensburg.
Nice.
At the mall.
I love the Jerky Boys.
I do, too. They have a new album coming, or he does. Just
really?
The one guy, yeah.
Man. Yeah, we had Johnny on the podcast a while back. Yeah.
And then I heard.
I can listen to it in our archives.
That's right. So, sorry.
When I moved down here, my best friend, the reason I moved down here is because he lived down here. He's like, hey, it's not cold down here, so why don't you come down here?
Yeah.
So that was why I moved down here. And then
it's -0 outside today.
Yeah, I know. That's why I'm like, I didn't move far enough south or whatever.
But blizzard in 96, I said, I'm done. I'm moving to Atlanta. Because I had friends here, and they're like, come live with us.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, I'll be down.
Seems like that's a common theme for people that move
mm-hmm.
down. And I knew him since preschool, and then he went to McEachern up in Marietta, and one of his good friends was Greg Bishop, who went on to direct. He's the one that directed the VHS Viral, but he had done a couple of things before that. And he's like, Greg's doing these projects. And so I sort of like just slowly worked back into it. And then I worked with Greg on VHS Viral and then Siren. And then I've always loved, and I just realized this is something that I was ashamed to admit maybe 2 years ago, but not so much anymore, but I'm not really a horror fan. Like, I really like horror comedy, but horror, like, I don't know. Like, I don't go back and rewatch Texas Chainsaw Massacre unless I'm, like, trying to study something or do something.
Right.
Like, I don't, like, it doesn't really get me, like a horror comedy. Like, Shaun of the Dead, we could put on right now, and I would sit through the whole thing.
Same.
Yeah. Tugger and Dale versus Evil.
That's one of my favorites. That. Like, that's my go-to. Like, if you want to say, like when I talked to Davi, when I met Davi for Jersey Devil, I said to her, I said, you know, it's not Shakespeare, we're not going to do anything, and it's not Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I said, if you like Tugger and Dale versus Evil, we're definitely going to go that route. She's like, yeah, I love it. I'm in. So that was sort of, like, where I really, like, love doing things that are more horror comedy or even a little funnier. So but horror is just, I do like doing horror, just be, you know, making it. I love making horror because it's like you sort of get to do every discipline. You know, you've got the blood, you've got the action, you've got acting. So it's sort of a combination of everything.
How much work do you get outside of producing your own stuff?
Quite a bit.
And what do? To produce, direct, shoot?
Anything.
Really?
Yeah, music videos.
I saw that on your IMDb page. So.
Yeah.
What kind of music videos?
Well, I also love hip hop.
Okay, you love hip hop.
Love hip hop.
All right.
So anytime I can do anything that's creative hip hop, like I'm not a huge fan. Like I said, I'm not a huge fan of guys just standing around yelling into the camera. But creatively, if we can do something cool, like I'm all in on any hip hop. So. You know, 80s, early 90s hip-hop is, like, anyone I can work with in that era. Like,
okay.
I'm always looking to do that.
Do you do the mumbly trap stuff?
No, I can't really. I remember when I was really into hip-hop and everyone around me was like, it's crap, it's terrible, right? So I get it. Like, I can't be that guy that goes, yeah, mumble rap is crap, because then I'm just like everyone was when I liked rap. So I just don't get it. Like, it's not my thing. But, you know, if you love, you know, trap music or whatever, that's great.
Right.
It's just not.
It'd be like people that like the Fat Boys going, why are you listening to Public Enemy?
Right. Right. And yeah.
Or NWA.
And I remember going to a Public Enemy concert, and it was actually when Public Enemy was with Anthrax. And that was crazy because it was like you had this melting pot of different cultures.
That must have been insane.
It was, because you had people that were like, I don't know why I'm here to see these people.
Not.
Yeah. And then you're like, but it was just a great, you know, crowd of, and everyone was sort of in it together. Whereas now it's that device of like, I don't listen to this or I don't do this.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's mumble rap's fine. Trap music's fine, I guess. I just don't get it. Thing. Yeah.
It was Anthrax that got me into Public Enemy.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice.
Cause I loved Anthrax in high school.
See, how cool is that?
Sort of. Yeah.
And I'm the opposite. I'd never heard of Anthrax. I'd seen the t-shirts. Everyone had like the jean jackets and whatever. Right.
But, yeah. I had that.
And then I saw him in concert and I was like, oh, this, I get it. It's pretty cool. You know, so. That was sort of my thing.
They had a lead singer, Charlie Benante, who sang like a balladeer from a heavy metal band, but it was, you know, mostly thrash or speed metal. They had a different lead singer at the beginning, and I know they have a different one now.
But, okay.
But that whole time, you know, in the era when I was listening, it was Charlie Benante, and they were singing about Stephen King books and comic books and Judge Dredd. And that's what their songs were about.
Oh, wow.
And that's why I dug them. And then, you know, from them, I got into Metallica. Because prior to that, it was like Motley Crue and Def Leppard, you know, all that,
right.
You know, typical stuff from the 80s.
Yeah. I think
Jeff
that's
liked
cool.
The Cure.
I can't say I've never heard a Cure song. Like, I a lot of people love Cure, but I don't know that. Maybe I've seen a video, maybe.
If you've watched any Love movies or anything, you've heard a Cure song.
Okay, because I just don't know.
Like, I think they were in the Crow soundtrack. Wasn't?
Maybe. I've only seen that once.
I love the song in the trailer from, was it Stone Temple Pilots? Was
yes,
that
but I think that whole movie had a great soundtrack,
it did.
I think The Cure was one of the bigger songs.
Then
I
definitely heard The Cure. Yeah.
And I'm not picking on them. I like them. I've seen them in concert a couple times.
Okay.
They were good. I don't know if they still are. Are they still tour?
Yeah, they're still good.
Yeah.
Nice.
They don't tour as much as they used to, but they still come around every now and then.
That's cool.
How'd you hook up with Brian? I know he's an actor sometimes in various...
A background actor.
How did we meet?
No, we met Matt Schwartz.
Oh, right. Yeah, that was good.
Okay, so here's how I got there. I was watching... I found a clip online called Straight Outta Gotham, and it was a rap video done with Batman and Robin singing the NWA song Straight Outta Compton, but the lyrics were completely done weird. And I loved the lyrics. They were so awesome.
That's all, Matt.
And I watched the there was a Batmobile in the movie or in the video, and it had a Georgia plate on it. So I looked up the production company at the end of the video, and I said, "Hey, if you guys are ever doing anything else in the Atlanta area, I'd like to be a part. Whether it's just getting you guys coffee or something, I want to be around cool shit going on." And I reached out to Matt, who was the guy responsible for that, and he was putting together a Bubba Fett music video where they were going to cover a Jay-Z song, but it was going to be Bubba Fett.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, "You're welcome to come on and hang out and do and hang out with us." And when I got there, Tony was working with Matt. I think you were the DP?
No, I was. It was my camera, and I helped. I just produced on that one.
Okay, so I met Tony there. I met a ton of great people there.
Mike T.
And I just had a good time. And it was. I think we were only there for one day. And then after that day, Tony reached out to me probably a couple of months later and said he was putting together the short with his daughter, the Sin City.
El Chivere.
And he needed a movie poster to go along with the film. And he commissioned me to do a movie poster for that film. And that's where we met.
Yeah.
And then I did the poster for Playtime's Over as well.
Yep.
So, I haven't seen the poster for that.
Yeah. Is it the same artwork that's at the beginning?
It's the one that's on the IMDb page.
Yeah, if you go to the IMDb.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to play a little bit of this song.
You are now about to witness this
is great.
Oh, God. They obviously shot this here.
Oh, yeah. We shot that in 2 days.
Straight out of Gotham. Crazy motherfucker named Two-Face. Check the clock, put the cash in a suitcase. Flip a coin to choose. You know I never lose. Bruce Wayne be wearing concrete shoes. Step to me and be 6 feet under. One coin.
Good job on the makeup.
Yeah.
Shout out to all my homies up in Blackgate. Bat wanna fight. Damn, my game is tight. Pop, pop, pop. Dark Knight, say goodnight. I admit that your toys are pretty nifty, but I still put your odds at 50-50.
Where was this shot?
Son, you knew I was a crime boss. Ain't no drilling when I'm down.
Downtown near from the district attorney. To the left of Krog Street Tunnel, like that area. I don't know what that area is called.
Oh,
Cabbage Town.
Yeah, that area.
And then there's some wild shots because I just saw the book nook.
Oh, yeah. Mike T and I snuck in and got all those. Like, after filming, Mike T and I went around and just shot all the insert shots.
And that's over by where I live, off of Briarcliff, right?
Yep.
Yeah. That's pretty cool. I'll include a link to this video.
And I highly recommend you watch the whole thing because it is badass.
There's two funny things. There's a zillion funny things. But one funny thing is all the voices, it's the different voices of the different villains. They're all Matt. That's
all him.
One guy.
And he wrote them all.
Yeah.
He wrote the lyrics?
Yeah. Every lyric on there, he wrote it.
That's cool.
And when I was in Savannah, and I was working on Siren at the time, and we were shooting night, so in the day, I was, sort of out of it. And I remember my phone kept blowing up. I couldn't figure out what was going on. And so finally, I was like, I'll just get my phone. So I get my phone, I have all these messages. And it was like, dude, there's this video that you totally need to contact these guys and be a part of. And I was like, okay. And I looked, and it was this video. And I was like, yeah, I did. But I was like, I feel like I kind of made it because people are like contacting me. Like, I should be a part of this thing that seems right.
You did.
Yeah. And I was like, I was there for that. So, yeah, Matt did a great job on that.
And this is so awesome. I mean, I'm not even listening to it anymore, but I can tell I'm going to enjoy this and probably put it on my iTunes.
Yeah, it's fun.
Because I like parody songs.
Yeah.
After that, watch the Bubba Fett music video.
Oh, I'll be watching all
that.
Of them later.
Yeah, if you like Star Wars, that one's good. That's a good one.
You working on anything right now?
Yeah, we just started Dead by Midnight 2. So we're that one's going to be a little trickier just because we're a lot more ambitious on this one. And we just wrapped a comedy series for U42. And my daughter wrote another short, which we just started. It's a sci-fi anti-bullying short. So,
is that for school?
No. Well, she was bullied at school, so mm-hmm. I guess that's the premise. But no, every time she comes home and she's, there's something negative that goes on, we always try to flip it and do something positive out of it. And so we had a big discussion about bullying and what that leads and why do people bully and this kind of thing. And so that was just sort of born out of that. And then, she's got a younger brother and Chris sees Chris did in Playtime's Over, he did the fog machine. Mm-hmm. And so that's his claim to fame. So every time every time it gets brought up, he's like, yeah, but did you see the fog in it? Mm-hmm. And so he's like, I want to do my film. So this next one about bullying, he's like, he's got a big part in it. So.
Cool. Is he the bully?
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, right. Yep.
So what do you like to watch? You said you're not a fan of horror, but what are some of the things, like if you could binge something, if you wanted to, what would it be?
Oh, yeah, I binge a lot. I mean, I watch a lot of things. I was just telling Brian, I just finished the Maniac Cop series from the 80s. I'm in the middle of Leprechaun, the horror films Leprechaun. I'm on Leprechaun 2.
Okay.
Don't spoil it. No, I've seen them all, but.
Yeah, yeah.
Like any of those, like I'll go back, anything 80s, I'll go back and binge like. Hardcore.
Series too, or
yeah, like I love Stranger Things. I mm-hmm. love my wife. So when Bird Box came out, she was like, "Oh my gosh, I want to watch this Bird Box," and everyone was bashing it online. And I was like, "Oh, it's just everyone's." You know, I said people aren't liking it. And she's like, "I'm gonna watch it." And I was like, "Okay." So she watched it, and she got about halfway through, and she started, "I can't believe you won't watch this." And I never said I wouldn't watch
right.
it. I was like, mm-hmm. "I'll watch it." So I sat down with her and I watched the end, and she's like, "See, I told you it was good." And I was like, I didn't say it wasn't good, you know? I'll watch anything. So, yeah, I'll watch. I'm trying to think. My favorite stuff is, like, I love Brooklyn Nine-Nine. That's my go-to.
You're happy it's back.
Yep.
Yeah. We just watched it. And then I like Good Place. But then
I love Good Place.
Yeah. It's so creative. And then, you know, anything, Stranger Things or any of those types, we watched that 13. Is that what it's called? The suicide one?
Oh, 13 Reasons Why.
Yeah, that. We watched that. That was crazy. I like that. I didn't watch the second one because I felt like they wrapped
Yeah, I think
that
the first season was good enough. Like, yeah. I don't even know how you would make a second season. My wife started watching. I was like, I'm not into this shit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't like when they do that. Like, I love when someone comes out with a plan and it's like, we're going to execute along. We've got three series or three seasons or one season. But, you know, like when you get into like that, like Lost, like
yeah.
that show where it's just like, we don't really know how we're going to get out of this. We're just going to keep
Blood
writing.
Drive. Did you watch Blood Drive when it was on Sci-Fi?
That was
no,
fucking
is that good?
Cool. Yeah.
That was meant to be just a one-off series.
Yeah. Did they stop at one or they?
Yeah, they stopped at one.
It. Yeah, I'll check that.
Yeah,
for sure.
I'm sure it's on demand on Sci-Fi. It's like totally camp.
Camp, gory,
yeah.
Grindhouse, so much fun. We interviewed the director.
Oh, yeah? Or
was he the creator, right?
Yeah, the creator.
Yeah, and they interspersed it with ads for, you know, like the kind of car they had, ran on human blood. And
wait, did James Rhodey, didn't he have something to do with it, the guy from Psych? I think he... I could be totally wrong, but
Jeff.
He might have... There was a movie that inspired the guy to start the series about cars that ran
this.
On blood, so maybe James Rhodey was involved in that.
Well, there was an Atlanta movie called Blood Drive.
Yeah.
Okay.
And, no, but James Rhodey directed the series, Blood
okay.
Drive.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And I'm a huge Psych fan, so I remember reading something that he was going to do that, and I was like, I got to see this.
You liked that, didn't you?
Yeah, Psych. Yeah, love it.
Let me ask us a stupid question. Has anybody ever watched Blue Bloods?
No. Tom Selleck?
Yeah.
It's got the girl in it from Reaper. I know that.
Well, I see it, and I see Tom Selleck, and my immediate
Reaper too.
Reaction is, nah.
Yeah.
I just
this
found
for me.
But I didn't know, but I'm revisiting The Sopranos. Jeff's probably getting tired of hearing that. 20 years, you know, it started 20 years ago this month.
Really?
Yes, and there are a couple of episodic recap podcasts. I'm following just one of them right now, and it's called Pot of Bean, or Pot of Bing, so instead of the Pot of Bing.
Nice.
But... They're revisiting it, so why am I going there?
Blue Bloods.
Yeah, I found out David Chase, the guy who created The Sopranos, created Blue Bloods.
Oh, wow.
So I'm thinking it can't be shitty if David if he's involved.
That's how I
David
fall into
Chase.
Everything. Like, if I find something, I'm like, oh, he did that? I'm
yeah.
in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I just found out, I didn't know this either, he wrote for The Rockford Files.
Wow.
Yep.
Hmm. So, did you watch The Sopranos?
We watched, I did not see the last episode.
You're not missing anything. Yeah, except for only the most pinnacle. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah.
I'm obsessed with it. So, I mean, I've watched every season at least 10 times.
It's
probably
such a
more,
good show.
But I'm a doofus. So.
Yeah, no, that's the show's like that era. And I think not 20 years ago, but like the Battlestar Galactica.
That's the other one I watch over and over again.
God, me too. Like I'll sit there and I'll restart and I'll get through like season two or three. And
then you start skipping?
Yeah. And then I jump back to the beginning.
Well, do you know which ones, as you move forward after season two, I know which ones to skip.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, I don't need to watch this one.
Yeah, and the, you'll watch, like, the first 10 minutes, and like, oh, yeah, I know.
Yeah, I don't need to hear Gaeta sing.
Right. I love that show, too.
Bears beats Battlestar Galactica.
Huh? Bears?
That's a Office quote.
Bears?
Yeah, Dwight says that.
Bears beats Battlestar Galactica.
I do like Dwight.
I like Dwight, too. Do you like the original Battlestar?
I don't know. Like I did when I was
good, but
when I was a kid, I like the movie. I remember when the movie came out. I don't know if I could. We were talking about that earlier about the rewatchability. Like you don't want to rewatch it and go like, "Wow, this does not hold up."
No, it doesn't. But the thing about it is, it's not their fault. They had a great cast. They had good writers.
Yeah,
and then ABC just cut their budget.
Yeah, okay.
So that's why when they canceled the show and it came back in 1980, it was called Galactica 1980. They shot it in L.A.
Oh,
and
right.
They repurposed Cylon footage, and then they had him on flying motors. I mean, it was just awful.
Sort of like, wasn't like the second season of Buck Rogers the same thing, where they did that same thing? Where
yeah.
It was totally insanity. You know,
that show was goofy, too. That does not hold up, but it was cool.
Yeah, at the time? Oh
yeah.
My gosh, when you see, what's her name, Erin Gray?
Yeah, and you're starting to get into adolescence, you're like, oh, Erin Gray. Look at that.
She was my first crush, I think.
She Silver Spoons. Every year.
Yeah, I love Erin Gray.
Yeah, well, she manages all those people, or at least helps them manage. So what else is next? What, I mean, that was,
yeah, tell us about
question.
Pretty Funny. That's, yeah. Is that the series for you 40?
Yeah. So I'm just the producer on that. And, the creator's name, Melissa, and it's really cool. Cause there's, it's about four females in Atlanta and they all have different jobs. Like one's a comedian, one's an actor, one's a podcaster, one's a DJ, and they all fall into trying out for the same role, an audition for this role that's going to be like a Amazon Alexa type device, home automation device, and they all audition for it, and then all of the bad comes out where they get into competition and that kind of thing. But it's really funny, and it's she describes it as Silicon Valley, you know, meets like Sex and the City type vibe. So it's like a comedy.
I like one of those shows.
You like Silicon
Sex
Valley?
In the City?
Yeah. And I could be wrong about the Sex in the City.
I'm a Carrie.
I think it's Sex in the City. Maybe it's Silicon Valley meets...
God, this chair. The only girl on Sex in the City I liked was the one with dark hair. Kristen Davis, is that her name?
Yeah.
Oh, shit,
yeah, she was a good actor.
But I liked her from, don't judge me, but Melrose Place.
Oh, wow.
I was an addict.
Yeah.
When that came on E!, oh, my God. I watched every episode over and over again.
I never got into that.
I did. And I remember I watched that, and I think it was because it was on at a specific like time.
It was on early in the morning, and then it was on late at night.
Okay. I think it was late at night, and I was just like, okay, let's you hunker down. Once you get into it, you're like, I'm all in.
Yeah.
Let's figure this out.
I'm going to get me my Courtney Thorne Smith fix.
Right.
And then watch Revenge of the Nerds 2 to see her again.
Oh, is she in that, too?
Uh-huh. She doesn't get raped, but she falls in love with Lewis.
Oh,
unlike in the first movie where he rapes the lady in the bounce house and she falls in love with him.
Wow.
Remember that? The most ridiculous. Do you remember that?
No.
Revenge
terrible.
Of the Nerds?
All I remember is the big football guy. Nerds!
Like, okay.
That's my...
Well,
yeah. Calling it rape is pretty...
Is that pushing it?
Yeah.
They wouldn't describe it.
He
pretends to be somebody that she would have sex with, so he
her boyfriend.
Can have sex with her.
Okay.
And he bangs her
and
in
then
his
he
bounce
reveals
house.
And that it's him.
He pulls his mask off. She goes, "You're that nerd."
Okay, right. I don't remember that. I guess the fact that you called it rape.
Well, sexual assault. Well, I mean, today you couldn't. I mean, it'd be problematic.
Yeah, I mean, the whole Me Too.
That's interesting because I haven't seen that since I was younger. And when you're younger, you're certainly not reading
Hair
anything.
Pie.
You're not reading anything into it. So.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, thank you for coming in on your Saturday to chat with us, man.
Yeah, so what's it like when you guys hang out? What do you guys do?
We just talk about
We smoke weed.
trying to get more work.
Yeah, we talk about what's going on, what we're working on.
How can we work together in the future?
Yep.
Like, what can I do for you? Like, introducing him to you guys.
Right.
Like, hey, I met these cool people. Let's network together. So it's we really don't work together that often. But we work together because I know someone that could help you out. You know someone that could help me out. Let's get some cool shit done.
Well, in the future, anything you have to promote, man.
I appreciate it.
We would love to have it.
As long as they can see it before we get here, though.
Yeah.
They have to see it before we get here.
We did.
Oh, I know. I'm just putting that out there.
Oh, okay.
Sometimes that's not always available.
Right.
No, I appreciate you guys taking the time. This was great. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome, man. Tony Reams, director, producer, No relation to Harry. Spelled different.
My dad used to make that joke, and I never got it. And then when I got older, I went, oh, wow.
Yeah, that's yikes. A 70s joke.
Yeah, yikes.
I saw Ron Jeremy in an airport when I was like 13 years old, and I knew who he was, and I recognized him. I was with my parents, and
Did you say anything?
No, he couldn't.
No, you can't.
He was with Tom Byron, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
We were just saying, like, and that was one thing we were talking about acting, because he was trying to break into acting, and I said, that's a problem for Ron Jeremy, because no matter where he goes, he's always going to be Ron Jeremy.
Yep.
He is great in what is that movie?
He was in Crank 2 as one of the protesters.
Oh,
I
yeah,
think.
That's right.
No, the Mormon movie with the guys from South Park.
Oh, yeah.
Orgasmo.
The Book of Mormon.
Yeah.
Orgasmo.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
I really feel like I've learned something.
Where there were a superhero. He was a superhero, right? Yeah.
Jizzmaster Zero.
Yeah.
Wow.
No, wait, hilarious. That was the bad guy. It was Orgasmo, and then the bad guy was Jizzmaster Zero.
I wasn't allowed to see that movie. And I was like 23 or whatever.
I've met him a number of times. He smells really bad, okay. Ron Jeremy, because he used to come on the old Regular Guys show.
He wow. looks like he would stay. He looks like a grease ball. Like, you just feel his, like, I can just imagine his hair has like so much texture to it. It feels chunky.
Yeah.
Is he cool? I bet he has a ton of stories.
Oh, he's
though.
Cool. Yeah. He's super nice.
Yeah.
You wouldn't, you know, he doesn't act arrogant or anything. He's really laid back.
Yeah.
I think the last time I met him, he was here doing stand up.
Okay.
But I didn't go because I knew it would be awful.
Oh, he was in Boondock Saints.
That's right.
Yeah.
He had to tell the joke that nobody wanted to hear.
He wanted to be an actor.
Yeah.
A lot of those guys did in the 70s. Yeah. They couldn't get any work, so they started doing the porn.
Right. Thinking that would open the doors. But I guess with your Ron Jeremy, it's like, dude, everyone, you're
They're
always
trying to
Ron
be like
Jeremy.
Stallone.
Well, it did lead to careers for some people.
Yeah.
Well,
I think Harry Reams was a legit actor.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Tom Byron was trying to be an actor. And you know, Tom Byron drives Lyft now.
Okay.
Lyft and Uber, yeah, because porn is all owned by the guy that owns Pornhub. I mean, he's the only guy making, you
so
know,
he makes
bang.
The money. No
he makes
else.
All the money. Oh, okay. Yeah, that company, it just makes hand over fist. And then the people that make it themselves. I don't know anything about that.
We don't know anything about that.
I wouldn't know anything about that. Tony Reams, thank you for coming in, man. We
thank
look forward
you.
To talking to
Days
you again.
Days of the Dead.
I think he's got a website.
Coming up.
Oh, yeah. Plug your website.
Oh, yeah. Memorywedge.com. You can check that out.
Memorywedge.com. And social media, do you want people following you?
It's going to be pictures of my kids.
Yes, force him to start keeping up with his social media.
Yeah, you need to do that.
He's got one, but it hasn't been updated in like 2 years. Make him update it.
I have pictures of my kids on there. Tony Reams is on Instagram. I do post pictures of like when I'm on set or whatever.
All your music videos and stuff, like when you were a Fife Dog and Red Man and stuff. Like.
Yeah.
Tony, Reames. And, of course, we will need all the social media profiles for the actresses in your film.
I like the Mistress of the Dark.
I'm sure you did.
Aaron
I'm sure
Brown.
You did.
Yeah. She's great.
The other girl looked like Rose McGowan.
Oh, that's Hannah Fearman. She was in the original VHS.
I watched her and I was like,
Hannah
is
Fearman's,
that not Rose McGowan?
She's
I had
great.
A double take.
I like the girl in the Missing Laundry too.
Oh, that's Melissa. She's Melissa and JV. They're great.
And is Haley a local actress?
She is.
She is.
And
okay.
Haley, I can't.
She was great.
Yeah, I can't say like Haley. If I had to put it out there, I think she will be. She'll
get picked.
And she's cool. She's cool as shit, like
super
in person.
Cool. Yeah. Yeah, she's fantastic.
Awesome. Well, guys, appreciate it. Brian, thank you for coming in.
Yeah, no problem,
I'll try
man.
And get
Anytime.
Us into Days of the Dead, but we'll think about buying tickets if we can't get in ourselves.
Well, we'll plug them for free right here and tell them that we're going to do it, and we will talk to you again soon.
Yeah.
Keep it canon.
Keep it canon.
Keep it canon.
Thank you.